Rise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I send you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." These are the words we hear the angel of the Lord proclaimed to Joseph the betrothed in the gospel reading that we just heard from St. Matthew. These words were proclaimed to Joseph sometime after the birth of Jesus. Now, a few questions may arise here. A few questions that we may ask ourselves. How could a Jewish family possibly find refuge in Egypt? Were the Israelites not in bondage in Egypt? Was the land of Israel, which was given by God, not a refuge for this holy family? The answer to this latter question is yes, it should have been. But unfortunately, this wasn't the case. Unfortunately, this was not the case for the one born king of Israel. From the very moment of his birth, our Lord Jesus Christ was public enemy number one. This wasn't something that happened suddenly when he began his public ministry at 30 years of age. It was happening from the very moment of his birth. But then again, this has always been happening. We see this again and again and again throughout the books of the Old Testament. In these prophetic books, we see the people of God continually finding ways to remove God from their lives and to make him an enemy. The people of God, more often than not, turn away from him and quickly turn their attention to other things or to other gods, whatever these or they may be. This rebelliousness is the natural byproduct of sin. And sin is what separates us from God. And it can even harden us to the point that we become hostile to God, that we make him our enemy. The people of Israel didn't wake up one day and decide that they would rebel against God time and time and time again, and nor do we. Just as they fell into habits and contradicted God's commandments, and eventually these habits developed into temperaments and attitudes. These attitudes and temperaments can also be passed on from generation to generation. And this is how we go from a God-fearing king, like King David, to an unjust and violent ruler, such as King Herod. When we give in to temptation and start down the road of sin, we find that we must have our own way, no matter the cost. Herod loves the idea of being king. He loves the idea of being in power. And he is ready to do whatever it takes to keep that power, just as we heard in the gospel reading. For Herod, this meant hunting down each and every male child under 2 years of age in the whole region of Bethlehem. Sin, in whatever way it manifests itself, distorts the heart and the mind to the point that we can even begin to rationalize our sin as something good and something useful. Herod, for instance, may have seen the murder of the 14,000 holy innocents as good and useful to maintaining his power. Although these acts of Herod were drastic, and yes, they were violent, we can rationalize any sin. And by doing so, we remove ourselves further and further away from God. The king is the highest ranking earthly ruler. Yet, even a king needs a savior. Athletes, doctors, lawyers, teachers, senators, presidents, priests, deacons, bishops, and the list goes on and on. All need a savior. Even the people of Israel needed a savior. And God, in his great mercy, sent them a savior. And he sends us a Savior. The one who is born King of Israel, the one who is born Emmanuel, he who not only was born in a manger, but is also born in our hearts. But each one of us has to make a choice. We have to choose whether our heart, our noose, is a land of refuge or a land of rebelliousness for that Savior. Our heart must be a safe place for God. From the moment our Lord entered the world, as I said, through His incarnation, He was under attack and is still under attack 2,000 years later. Whether it be from the world outside these doors or whether it be from within our own hearts, He is still under attack. We all know what the saints of the church are, but do we know who the saints of the church are? Now let me explain for a minute. A saint is someone who allows his or her heart to become a safe place for Jesus. A place where our Lord is free to grow in stature. A place where our Lord is free to teach us openly and without restraint. A place where our Lord may mature and flourish. A place where our Lord can call home. And when we struggle for this, just as the saints do, and view this as the most important thing in our life, we find that it is not God who finds refuge in our hearts, but it is we who find refuge in Him. It is we who find refuge in Him. How do we give Christ a place to grow in our hearts? You may be asking yourself. We begin by treating our Lord as the precious treasure He is. We pray for His loving mercy in helping us sanctifying every aspect of our life, our time, our space, our senses. We don't just treat our bodies as the temple of the Lord, but we also treat our minds, our homes, and our schedules as temples dedicated to Christ. This means that our whole being is dedicated as a temple to the living God. The new year is quickly coming upon us, as we all know, and I have no doubt that we will all make New Year's resolutions this year. We will make resolutions for ourselves. I think that if we choose to make Christ our primary resolution, then we will all certainly be on the right track for this new year. And of course, this track isn't easy. It consists of struggling day by day to turn our hearts toward Christ and making it a safe place for Him. In another reading from St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, the Lord says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it." The way of the kingdom is the narrow way that our Lord is speaking about. The way of pure worship, the way of prayer, the way of fasting, the way of confession, the way of the Eucharist, the way of the saints. We don't just come here to be part of a nice church. We come here to choose a way of life. We don't come here to simply go through the motions of the liturgy. We come here to open our hearts to the one who was not only born for us, but was crucified and resurrected for our salvation. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us strive to make our hearts a safe place for Christ, a place where He can dwell, so that we may find refuge in Him. As the angel of the Lord proclaimed, "Rise, I say rise, dear brothers and sisters in Christ." And from this moment, let us be joyful and let us be energized in fleeing to our Lord in refuge, just as the Holy Family fled to Egypt for refuge. Let us pray to God. Let us pray to Him without ceasing, and let us be sincere in sanctifying our time, our space, and our senses. Let us be joyful in offering our lives to the worship of the one living God. May God find our hearts pure. May He find our hearts safe, so that we may become a fortress for His Son, the Savior who was sent for us all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.